Well, this morning we'll be looking at the book of Romans, chapter 8, 5 through 11. And it's printed on those sheets that David's handing out right now. So I'll just wait till he... what I want to talk about this morning is coming to grips with what really controls us. Are we controlled by the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God, or are we controlled by the world around us? You'll notice I have two glasses of water up here, so I don't know if that means you're going to be here a while. I don't think so. Like to be prepared, I guess. Anyway, so we're going to read Romans 8, verses 5 through 11, and I think for the text we'll stand for the reading. And once again, reading in Jesus' name. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, or indeed can be. So then those of you who are in the flesh cannot please God. But if you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Lord, we thank you for this morning, and we just thank you for the opportunity to come and to worship you and to look into your word. And Lord, I just pray that somehow you can use me in some way this morning. And I'm just so thankful to you for forgiving me of my sins. And Lord, just help me and us to keep focused on you. Even though we live in this world, Lord, we need to know where our hope lies and focus on that. And I just pray this in your name. Amen. You may be seated, by the way. I've got kind of three things I want to address. And the first one I'll come to that in a little bit. I just want to make sure that we can see what that scripture text is telling us. We will be controlled by one of two things, either our sinful nature or the Holy Spirit. And I got to tell a little story about something that happened to me this week, and talking about giving up control of something. As I've mentioned probably to several of you, I've been experiencing some sleep problems, and I was diagnosed with sleep apnea, and I'm using a sleep machine, or CPAP machine. And a couple nights ago, it was going really good, but I'd say about three nights ago, I woke up at some point during the night, and I remember doing it, but I don't know why I did it. It must have made sense in my semi-conscious state. I took the mask off. And in the morning, I woke up just wore out, had a sore throat, and it made me think about what I was looking at here this morning. That in that state, I was not willing to give up the control of my sleep to that machine, and it showed me how much I needed that to get a good restful night's sleep, and also not wake up feeling lousy in the morning. And it made me think about what does control us. Because when I'm sleeping, you know, we don't have a conscious state, then I depend on that machine to help me get through the night. And it made me think of what that scripture is telling us. Do we let the Spirit control our lives, or do we want to rebel and take control ourselves? And the rebellious nature is so ingrained in us from the world around us, and even within our churches, sometimes there's a rebellion against God. So if we are to be serious about what actually controls us, we need to ask ourselves some questions. And the first one is, what dominates my thoughts? And I'm going to read verses 5 and 6 again. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So if we are constantly in a state of worrying or trying to attain our fleshly desires, and there's nothing wrong with attaining things, but where's our focus? The scripture is pretty clear that when we are followers of Jesus, there is a transformation that is supposed to take place. And I want to read 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And when I look at the old things passing away, I think of the value systems that the world holds, the world's priorities, beliefs, and the plans of the world, and the plans we set in motion to succeed in the world. These things should not dominate our minds. Of course, we should be concerned about things and make plans, but these worldly things cannot dominate. And then at the end of that passage, all things become new. And this should be a continuing condition. Our perception has changed and should be a continuing reality, focused on what's eternal rather than the temporary things of this world. And that transformation includes a mental transformation. There should be a change in how we think when we make that decision to follow Christ. There should be a transformation and a conforming to a different way of thinking. And back to the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And when I look at the Bible and I think of a transformation, we think of Christ's transfiguration. Now, we're not going to probably experience what Christ experienced, but we should be transformed into a different being and a different way of thinking as we are born again and born into the family of God. And to be conformed, it's an outward expression that doesn't line up with what we profess to believe. And our mind should be renewed, and it should be saturated with and controlled by the Word of God. And we do need to be in the Word and to not just read, but also to study and to dwell on what the Word is saying to us. Because we'll value the things that we mentally dwell on. So how do we allow the Holy Spirit to control how we think? And, you know, a lot of these passages are so familiar to us. And Philippians is one of my favorite books. I don't know if we're supposed to have favorite books of the Bible or not, but I do I do enjoy reading Philippians. But Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." And as we look at that, in that last phrase, it says meditate on these things. What are we supposed to meditate on? Well, the preceding phrases tell us whatever things are true. And we discern truth by studying God's word. Whatever things, excuse me, whatever things are just, what's right in the eyes of God, whatever things are pure, we are to live morally clean and blameless lives. Whatever things are lovely, kindness and gracious living, do we do that? Are we gracious to those around us? Are we kind to those around us? The toughest thing is being kind to those who may have wronged us somehow, and putting others first, and of good report. And to me, this speaks to our reputation of the way we live as seen by the world. I guess I would call it our witness, whether it's through words or through our actions. Do we, when we interact with other people, especially non-Christians, do we think about how our actions might impact them down the road? And I oftentimes think about how the smallest little thing that you say or do can impact people, and you may not realize it, and they might not even realize it, but there might be a kernel of something there that you've done for somebody or said to them that will impact them down the road. So we need to back up what we believe by our actions. And I think of that as you look into James and we show our faith by our works. Then what dictates my behavior? Verses 7 through 9. "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But if you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you," I want to read that sentence again. "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his." The sinful nature is always hostile to God. We are inherently rebellious, I believe. And the sinful nature never did obey God's laws, and it never will. And that's why those who are still under control of their sinful nature can never please God. But if you are not controlled by your sinful nature, you are controlled by the Spirit, if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And if the Spirit is control of us, we will live a life of obedience. And that means we obey the Word of God, and we can't obey the Word of God unless we know what the Word of God says. And 1 Peter 1, 13 through 16. "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And I've got a illustration that I found here, and I'm going to read it as it's written. A country church was having their annual revival meeting. On the first night, the preacher preached a message about repentance and the need to return to the Lord. At the altar call, a man came down the aisle saying, "Fill me, Lord, fill me." The next night, the preacher challenged the congregation with the need to totally surrender their lives to Christ in complete obedience. Again, the altar call was extended. Like the night before, the same man came down the aisle saying, "Fill me, Lord, fill me." The third night of the revival, the preacher warned his congregation of the evils of sin and urged the congregation to live lives of holiness. Again, the invitation was made to give one's life to Christ. The same man came up the aisle saying, "Fill me, Lord, fill me." Someone in the back of the church piped up, "Don't do it, Lord, he leaks." I think we all leak from time to time. We can be filled with the Spirit one day and be lacking the next. And we all lose our way at times. And we have to remember not to lose our first love, or we wade in the pool of the lukewarm. And once again, we need to come to grips with what really controls us. Where am I at here? So, I'm missing a page of notes. It can't be. Oh, there it is. And this also means that we obey the leading of the Spirit. And I want to read Psalm 119, 59, and 60. I thought about my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. And I'm going to read another illustration that I found. Bill was a drunk, converted at a city mission. Before his conversion, he had gained a reputation as a tramp, an alcoholic, for whom there was no hope. But when he was converted, everything changed. He became the most caring person at the mission. He spent all his days there doing whatever needed to be done. There was never anything he was asked to do that he considered beneath him. Whether it was cleaning up vomit left by some alcoholic or scrubbing toilets used by men who left them filthy, Bill did it all with a heart of gratitude. He could be counted on to feed any man who wandered in off the streets and care for his needs when he was unable to care for himself. One evening, after the mission director delivered his evangelistic message to the usual crowd of solemn men with drooped heads, one of them came down the altar and kneeled to pray, crying out to God to help him change. The repentant drunk kept shouting, "Oh God, make me like Bill, make me like Bill, make me like Bill." The director of the mission leaned over and said, "Wouldn't it be better if you pray, make me like Jesus?" After thinking about it for a few seconds, the man looked up and asked, "Is he like Bill?" Do we give that kind of impression to people, that people want to emulate us so that we can explain to him that our life is a life of emulating Christ, and that's where our hope lies, and that's where our minds need to be? And then the last thing I want to address is what demonstrates my priorities. And I want to read again Romans 8:10. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And I'll finish verse 11 too. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So if we believe in Christ and what he did for us and we've confessed that belief, then we feel that Christ through his Spirit lives within us. And even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you've been made right with God. It's a battle between the earthly and the eternal, and that fight rages within all of us. And when the earthly priorities dominate our thinking, the sinful nature is winning. When eternal priorities dominate, the Spirit is winning. So what are we doing? Where does our hope lie? What controls us? Do we decide we can do it on our own and take that CPAP mask off, or do we depend on the that machine to keep us through the night? Do we continue to put on the armor of God and dwell in his word? Or do we focus on the things around us and what we need to obtain earthly possessions and earthly praise and honor, accumulate things, and we just need to have our minds right and things to consider. What drives you? What makes you get up in the morning? What makes you go throughout your day? Even though we do need to be, we do need to earn a living and do the things that are necessary for our life here on earth, we also need to use the things that we do and the things we accumulate to his glory. And what upsets you? Are we troubled by some of the things going on in the world around us? Are we troubled by the millions of children killed through abortion? Are we troubled by the by what seems to be a lack of Judeo-Christian values that we've come to appreciate? Do those things upset you? And what moves you? What kind of makes you tick? I guess that's kind of a little bit like what drives you. Where do we find our minds going, and what makes us or how do we relate with others? Do we relate in a Christian way, or do we sometimes want to gossip a little bit and say, did you hear this? Did you hear that? Some of those things, and there are so many other things, and a lot of it has to do with pride. And we just have to remember that without God and his blessings, we have nothing. And I just want to close with these verses from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And it's kind of an exhortation. Chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things which are seen as temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I want to read that last sentence. I think I goofed it up. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So let's focus on the eternal. And as I've mentioned before, there's this illustration where the guy has this rope that seems to go on forever. And there's just a little bit of that rope that's painted a different color. And that represents our life here on earth. Are we focusing on this life, which is part of our eternity? You know, once we are conceived and born, We begin our eternity, and just a little bit of that is spent here on earth. But our eternity goes on forever. Are we focusing on what we can accomplish here for our own sinful desires, or are we focusing on the life eternal in the presence of our Lord? And I just want to leave that with you this morning, and I thank you for listening. And Lord, we just thank you for this day, and we thank you for the opportunities we have, Lord. And help us to live for you, Lord, and to and that our lives that we live will be a witness to you, and that we will study your word and spend time in meditation and prayer and seeking your will in our lives, Lord. Now, Lord, I just pray that as we go our separate ways today, that we will meditate on the things that you have for us, and I just thank you now again for all your blessings. In your name, amen. And our closing hymn is Take Time to Be Holy, page number 481. Page 481, Take Time to Be Holy.